Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Ches. First, I want to thank Alicia Graf very much for covering the shiur over the past month while I was away in camp, especially since I was not saying the shiur over the past month, even from camp. So I'm sure all the people listening on YU Torah appreciate it very much, and certainly we here in the shul appreciate it very, very much. So thank you very much for that. Also, today's shiur is sponsored... It's sponsored by Avishai Newman Lizchus Refuah Shleima for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida. Should be Zocha to Refuah Shleima Bekarov. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Zayinim Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page, Lo Sakiru Panim Bamishpat. So the Gemara is going to be discussing at first more issues relating to bias in terms of a Dayan, when a Dayan is considered to be possible because he has some sort of bias in the case, and when he has to excuse himself from the case because of that, because of some sort of previous relationship that may disqualify him from the case. That's going to lead us into a discussion about Srara and leadership in general, what exactly the attitude of a Dayan or a leader should be. Should it be someone who composes himself, who acts with a certain sense of Srara, or should he be more at one with the people? The Gemara is going to discuss when it comes to a Hazman al-Din. How many Dayanim have to be signed on the Hazman al-Din when you issue a subpoena to bring someone to a Din Torah? And then the Gemara is going to talk about, when it comes to Dine Knossos, how many Dayanim are necessary to be on the Beis Din that deals with Dine Knossos. But then the major discussion that goes through the bottom of Amud Aleph, the entirety of Amud Beis, and much of tomorrow's Amud Aleph, is going to be to try to explain the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chum in the Mishnah. Rav Meir and the Chum argue in the case of Ones Mefatim Motzi Shemra. So Rav Meir says it's Bishlosha, you need three Dayanim, but the Chum say Motzi Shemra is Be'esrim Vishlosha. When it comes to Motzi Shemra, you need 23 Dayanim. What are they arguing about? The Gemara is going to have six different explanations what they're arguing about, and the possibilities touch upon some major issues relating to the conduct of a Beis Din and the proper way to run a Beis Din. Are we Choshesh Lezilusa de Beis Din? Are we concerned about if Beis Din doesn't look good, if they have to change their mind from what might look like they're changing their mind from one day to the next, and many other issues as well. So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page. Lo sakiru panim bamishpat. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo sakirehu. Rabbi Yehuda says that it means that if a person knows one of the Balei Din as a friend or something, he has a good relationship with him, he should not show him any favoritism to give him a favorable outcome. Rabbi Lazar Omer lo sinakrehu. On the opposite side, if you don't like the person, you have a negative relationship with the person, that should not be evident in the way that you conduct the din, and certainly he should not lose the court case just because you have this bad relationship with him. Ushbizchane de Rav, also the Kamei Ledina. Rav had a host who came to him for a din Torah. Amar lo, lav ushbizchane at. So they struck up a conversation. This person says to Rav, wait a second, weren't you my guest? Didn't I host you once? Amar lo, so Rav said back to him, in, yes, you did in fact host me once. Remember, I had a simcha in the neighborhood and they put me up at your house. You're the one that hosted me. So Amar lei, dina isli. So the guy says, oh, that's so funny because I have a din Torah right now. So Amar lei, Rav said to him, that's very nice that you have a din Torah, but pasul nalach ledina, I cannot be your dayan for your din Torah. Amar lei, Rav la Rav Kahana. So Rav told Rav Kahana, his Talmud, pok dayne, you should go and don this din Torah. Rav Kahana noticed that this guy seemed to carry himself with a little too much confidence in terms of how he was going to be dealt with in this Din Torah, because he knew that Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav, and here he is, the person who did Rav a favor, so he figured that Rav would put in a good word for him, and that everything would be fine. So Amar lei, Rav Kahana said to this guy, he saw the way he was behaving, he said, tzaisis, tzaisis, look, if you want to listen to whatever psak I give, that's great, and you want to act like, you keep your head down and act like a proper litigant in a Din Torah who doesn't have any special favors coming his way. That's wonderful. V'ilo, but if you're not going to listen, you're not going to behave, mafik nalach rav meyonech, I'm going to take rav away from your strength, meaning you're not, rav will not be able to help you. Why will rav not be able to help you? Because I'm going to put you in chayrim, and because I put you in chayrim, rav will not be able to help you. So a couple of points over here. First of all, the taptosos, pesun lach marchikoya atzmo, avul min adin lo mifsel. This idea that Rav says, I am possible to be your dayan, Tos says, not really true. He's not possible to be his dayan. If you were to ask Shiloh, or if you were to actually paskin whether he's possible or not, the ikra din is, he's kosher. It's just that Rav held himself to a higher standard, and he didn't, even with such a small favor that this fellow did for him once, that he hosted him once, he didn't want to, he wanted to stay away from the smell of anything inappropriate. So he said, I'm not going to be your dayan, even though he wasn't really possible. And Tos says, and we have a similar such case in the end of Maseches Ksuvos, where someone brings a basket of fruits that he used to bring every week. He used to give a gift of a basket of fruits, and he brought it like a day early. And he said, oh, because you brought me these fruits a day early. Is that because of a one day advance in the delivery of the fruits, he's really pasul ladina? Tos says, of course not. He's not pasul ladina. It's just that it was something that they tried to show, they tried to demonstrate that even the tiniest bribe, even the tiniest reason to want to look favorably upon the person was enough to try to stay away from dealing with such cases. That's the shita of Tosos. The Rush in the third perek of Masech Sanhedrin writes that an oev gomor, like a shushvin, is pasul ladun. That we're going to see in the Gemara. But even an oev ma'at, someone who loves the baldin a little bit, lichadchila should not be involved in the din Torah. It's just that it's not possible if he is involved in the din Torah, which makes it sound like the Rush derives from here not just a midas chasidus, but a din lichadchila, meaning a little bit more than what Tosa is saying. Tosa says he's not really possible, you know. But the impression you get from Tosa, marchi koya atzmo, that it was his own personal hanhaga. Whereas the Rush seems to say, not a personal anaga, this is the appropriate anaga for people in this situation, l'charchila. But p'tievet, it would certainly work. The Beis Yosef in Choshem Mishpat, Simin Zayin, is medayik from the Rambam in the 23rd parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin, that it's aser to be for a dayan to be done, even eino ohev gamur, even if it's not a real ohev. And again, presumably it's based on this Gemara, that Gemara in Ksuvos, that it's not a pro, that it's not right. Now, the Rambam may fall short of saying that it's that the din would be pasul also, that it's an absolute psul, but that it's aser, that it's not just a din l'chadchila, but it's aser for one to take upon himself such a case. So that's point issue number one. The other thing is, what exactly did Rav Kahana threaten? Rav Kahana threatened, Rav will be of no help to you. Mafik nalach Rav meyunech. If you look at Rashi, odiacha shein Rav yachol l'sayecha dimishamtin alach. You should know Rav won't be able to help you because I'm going to put you in a shamta. I'm going to put you, there are three different forms of chayrim. There's nidoy, shamta, and chayrim. So I'm going to put you in a certain type of chayrim called a shamta. So that's what he was scaring him with. If you look at Tosus, mafik nalach meyunech dimishamtin alach v'had dekamra b'moyd katan menuda l'talmud ena menuda l'rav. All the sugis of nidoy and shamta and chayrim appear in meseches moyd katan. So Tosus says, but wait, the halacha is that if someone is put into a nidoy by a talmid, the rebbe of that talmid is not obligated to honor that nidoy. Rav Kahana was a talmid of Rav. So what's he saying? Rav's not going to be allowed to talk to you because I'm going to put you in a nidoy. The guy will say, yeah, but you're Rav's talmid. Rav doesn't have to honor your nidoy. Rav is your rebbe. So even though that's true, hani milik shnados al kavod atzmo avol shem shamayim lo. So Tosa says that's only if he's minada, if the talmid is minada for his own kavod. But over here, it wasn't for his own kavod. It was l'shem shemayim to make sure that the din Torah goes the way it's supposed to go. So that's why the nidoy would in fact be chal, and the rebbe would have to honor the nidoy. It's mistaver that way. That why does the rebbe not have to honor the talmud's nidoy? Because the rebbe has no chiyuv of kavod for the talmud, but of kvot shemayim, the rebbe certainly has a chiyuv of kvot shemayim. So if it's about kvot shemayim, then the Rebbe would have to honor that nidoy. The Riaf on the Ein Yaakov in this Tosos says that even if nidoy would not have been chal legabe Rav, but still Rav's host would have been a menuda from everybody else, and Rav would not have been able to save him from that nidoy, meaning it's still quite a threat. Just because Rav doesn't have to honor that nidoy, anyone who's lower on the totem pole than Rav Kahana does have to honor the nidoy. So it still would be a life-altering experience to be put in chayrim. I've not yet been zocha to be put in chayrim, as far as I know, but I'm told by people who have been. Rabbi Kenny Brander was just in Camp Keli for Shabbos, and he was telling me about the time that he was put in chayrim for trying to bring kosher meat to Boca. So, whatever, long story. But he said it's quite an experience, you know, to be put in chayrim. Not something that's a comfortable thing to go through, even if Rav doesn't have to honor the chayrim. So that's how the Riaf points out. Says the Gemara further now. Kikatan kigadol tishmuun. Amar Reish Lakish shiye chaviv alecha din shal pruta kedin shal meyamana. That a person has to treat with the same respect a din that involves a single pruta as a din that involves 100 mana. So lemay hilchso. What do you mean you have to treat them the same? In what sense do you have to treat them the same? If it's about making sure that you come to the right conclusion and giving the din the proper respect, pshita, of course you have to treat them the same. Why would you think that you're allowed to not be as confident or not be as certain or not put as much effort into coming to the proper conclusion on a din Torah that involves a smaller amount of money? So that's obvious. Ela la'akdume. No, the chiddush is that you have to dan him if he was the one that was there first, even though the other case may seem like a more important case because there's a lot more at stake. So that's the chiddush that lakdume, that if two people show two cases come in front of you, the first one on the docket comes first, regardless of the amounts of money that are involved in the two cases. In fact, the achronim are a little bit bothered. What's the havamina on that? Isn't that also pshita? Meaning, if the first one is pshita, that it's obviously you have to put as much energy into a case of a pruta as you do into a case of meyamana. Isn't it obvious that you also have to give it precedence if it comes first? Why would you think otherwise? So the Ben Yoyada suggests that someone's Tovea Meyamana says that that you should put me first because the Nitva is a greater flight risk. Meaning if a person is being sued for millions of dollars, so there's a more greater likelihood he's going to run away and the Bezin's not going to find him. Someone's being sued for a Pruta, don't worry, he'll be here tomorrow. Meaning if you want to deal with his case tomorrow, he will still be there. So it's not about the seriousness with which you take the case, it's about the to ensure that you'll be able to take the case. The Yad David suggests differently. He says, no, had it not been for this pasuk, I wouldn't have known that there's a din of kedima at all. This pasuk kikatan kigadol tells me that there is a din of kedima, that there is a din that which comes first come first serve has to be the rule that Beis Din operates on. Otherwise, we would have thought that whatever Beis Din, however Beis Din wants to attack their day and schedule their day would be perfectly fine. Lo seguru mipneish, pasuk says lo seguru mipneish, that you shouldn't refrain from judgment because of a fear of another person. So ki amishpat elukim hu. So it's in parentheses we have Amar Bichanan al taknas v'rechem mipneish. Don't hold back from saying something because you're afraid of somebody. And the pasuk continues ki amishpat elukim hu, because mishpat belongs to God. Amar Bichanan Baruch Hanina, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayin lo rishayim shenot mizemam nosen lezeh. It's not only that rishayim take away money from one person and they give that money to somebody else shelo kadin against the halacha, el shematrichno si lahachzer mam lebaylov. But what you don't even realize is happening is that they're being matriach the ribono shalom to come up with a plan to get the money back to the rightful owner. So it turns out that this dayin is actually being not only see if the dayan who makes a mistake or who does something wrong is not only messing up the two litigants, it's like making a din Torah against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make sure that justice somehow prevails in this world. The Achronim are a little bit bothered by the Lashon. Shematrichin osi. How long does it take Hashem to come up with a plan of how it's all going to work out? A tircha? How much of a tircha could it possibly be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo ya'eif lo got. HaKadosh, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get tired. There's nothing that exhausts HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it in any which way he wants. And it's and truth is, some of the Achronim point out, Ben Yoyada says, wouldn't it be so hard? I could come up with a plan very easily. The guy that unlawfully gained the money, no problem. Let him drop it somewhere. Let him and the guy that lost the money, let him find it. So that's it. Done. End of story. We've already solved all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tircha. So what does it mean that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a tircha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Ben Yoyada explains that sometimes the Nigzal dies right away because of all the tzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring him back into the world, Al Yidei Gilgul, and he goes through this whole thing about, you know, you don't realize sometimes the collateral damage. That, yeah, the money is no issue, but what about the fact that he was in a bad mood? And then he came home that night because he was in a bad mood, and he was a little short-tempered with his wife and his kids, and what that did for his whole family life and everything. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to put it all back. He has to somehow take away the effects of everything that happened as a result of the Din Torah, even if you don't necessarily hold of Gilgulim. Ben Yoyada, Lashitasa, always talks about Gilgulim. He's always into what's going to happen Al Yidei Gilgul in order to make this work. Rav Shechta points out, I think, from the Gaonim, that we have certain things that are Iker beliefs in our religion that one must believe. Then there are certain things that one has to believe, but it doesn't make you an apikoros if you don't believe. There are 13 that are ikr, that if you don't believe them, you're not a maimon, you're an apikoros. Then there's a lot of things that we believe because we know that they're correct, but it won't make you an apikoros if you don't believe it. You'd just be wrong, but you wouldn't necessarily be an apikoros. And then there are things that we don't necessarily have to believe in. It's machlokas, whether these things exist. So I think he quotes from early writings, from Gaonim, that it's machlokas whether there's such a thing called the Gilgul. And that's not something that a person has to believe. It seems that the prevailing opinion over the years has been that there is such a thing called a Gilgul. I think there's a famous Rashash where he calls into question based on the Gemara. There's a Gemara, I think, in Nida that says that when a person comes into the world, just like a person comes into the world without chait, so too something else. So Rashash says, comes into the world without chait? It's such a davar pashut that a person comes into the world without chait? Mikan tshuva to those who say that there's such a thing as a Gilgul. You see that there's no such thing as a Gilgul because a person doesn't come into the world without chait. Okay, so says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go through the stircha of giving the money back lebailev. The pasuk says, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to the dayanim, whatever you have difficulty with, whatever you have trouble with, so you'll come to me for the din Torah. I will deal with it. So Amar Rabbi Chanina v'item Rabbi Yoshia al davar zeh ne'enash Moshe. Because of this, because of the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke over here, he was ultimately punished. Shenema v'yakrev Moshe's mishpat on the Hashem. When it came time for dealing with the Bnos Slavchad and the Dine Nachla that Moshe Rabbeinu was unaware of when the Bnei Slavchad came and said, Lama Yigara, why should we lose out in terms of the Yerusha of our father? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer, and the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away that knowledge from him and required him to actually come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get the answer was because of the way he spoke about how you're going to come to me to deal with all these issues. So it sounded like a little bit of taking too much credit for himself. So Maskev of Nachum Yitzchak, does it say Vashmiachem, which would mean that I will let you know the din? Ushmativ ksiv. The pasuk says ushmativ, which means igamirna gamirna. If I happen to know the halacha, if I learned it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then wonderful, I'll tell you what Hashem said to me. Vilo asilav gamirna. And if I don't know, if I hadn't yet learned it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so I will go and I'll learn it mipi Hashem. So it doesn't sound like he's being told ba'atzmo that all of the idea is his inherent idea. And you have to come to me and you're going to need me. It doesn't sound like that way at all. It sounds like he's speaking b'derech hanivus. Ella, rather the reason that Parshas Nachlos was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu initially, and the reason he had to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the time of Bnos Slavchad had nothing to do with a shortcoming in Moshe Rabbeinu. It had everything to do with the great zuchus of the Bnos Slavchad. Kidetanya, the Braisa tells us, Ruya Parshas Nachlos Shetikasev Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Really, Parshas Nachlos should have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu before the Maisa ever happened. Ela shezachu b'nos Slavchad, but the b'nos Slavchad were the ones that were zocha v'nichtav al yadan, and instead it was written through them by them asking the question. And similarly, on the flip side, actually, ru'uya heisa parshas mekoshesh, the parsha of the mekoshesh etzim should have been shetikasav al yadei Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea that a mechal Shabbos is chayv skila is something Moshe Rabbeinu should have been able to teach it like he taught the rest of Torah without any episode happening, just to say it straight that Mechal Shabbos is chayv skila, elishin is chayv mekoshesh v'nichtav al yada. But the mekoshesh through his chil Shabbos didn't act that he's going to go down in infamy as the one who was Mechal Shabbos and therefore taught us this din that Mechal Shabbos chayv skila. L'lamedcha shemagalgul n'chov al yidei chayv u'zchus al yidei zakai. This teaches us that bad things happen through bad people and good things happen through good people. So that is the limud that we derive from the Bnos Slavchad and from the Parsha of the Mekoshesh. Now the Gemara doesn't say what the Zuchus of the Bnos Slavchad was. I mean, all they did is ask a Shaila. You know, they didn't come with some, didn't seem like they came with some noble intentions other than that they wanted land. So we Lamanigara, why should we be any worse than anybody else? We want land. So the Chassam Sofer explains that their father was the Mekoshesh Eitzim. He was the one that was killed because of the Chil Shabbos, and he did it L'Shem Shemayim so that all of Klal Yisrael should be afraid of Chil Shabbos. So the Parsha of Nachlos was written by Bnos Slavchad because that's where it says to Moshe to give them a Nachla al Shem Avien. So that's how their father got a shame that was the schar of the Shomrei Shabbos, because the pasuk says in Shayo, Ki ko amar Hashem l'sarisim asher yishmer shabsosai v'nasati lem bebesi u'bechomosai yad v'shem tov mi'banu shem olam etenlo asher lo yikareis. So it wasn't that they did this great mitzvah, they were trying to give a shame to their father, and their father, even though he did something that earned him a chiyuv misa, but it was l'shem shemayim, and because it was l'shem shemayim, he deserves this shame that he got through the story of his daughters, through the Bnos Slavchad. So that's the Chassam Sofer's explanation. Then the Gemara makes another drasha from that pasuk. Siv pasuk says v'atzaveh shoftechem be'sayid. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Shoftim to lead the Tzibor based on the rules of the Torah, and it sounds like they have to go, they're going to have to sometimes be forceful in leading the people based on the rules of the Torah. Uksiv, Vatsave Eschem Be'esahi, that Moshe told the Tzibor themselves to listen to the Shoftim. So if Moshe told the Shoftim that they're going to be able to force the people, even if the people are not interested in listening, why does he have to tell the people to listen? It doesn't really matter if the people are going to listen, they're going to be forced into it anyway. So Amra Blazar Amra Bisimlai Asar Litzibur Shete Emas Dayan Alain Asar Dayan Shispol Satzibur. That with it's a two way relationship. It's a two way street. That the Tzibur has a mitzvah that they have to have a certain sense of ema and kavod for the Dayanim, but the Dayanim also have to be sovel the Tzibur. They have to take care of the Tzibur and deal with whatever the Tzibur's needs are. Ad Kama Amra Bchan Vitem Rav Shabtai Kasher Yisa Omei Nasayonik. How patient does a Jewish leader have to be with the Tzibur? Kasher Yisa Omin Esayonik. How patient is a nursing mother with her crying baby, with the baby that wakes up in the middle of the night? When at what point does she say, forget it, it's just not worth it anymore, who needs this? No, never, because when you have a tremendous amount of love for that baby, you're going to be, and you view their potential and what they're going to be and what they mean to you and everything that they represent. So there's a tremendous amount of patience that a parent is willing to have when dealing with the baby. So the same is over here. Someone who's charged with the great responsibility of leading Klal Yisrael has to have that same sense of patience. Okay, Ksiv ki ata tavo. The pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, he says Chazak v'amatz, because ki ata tavo, you're going to bring this people to the land that Hashem had promised them. So it sounds like Yeshua is going to be the one that Yeshua is going to come to the land like one of them, Uksiv, and it says Kata Tavi. Not that you're going to come, meaning like you're going to go as one of the people, but Kata Tavi. You're going to bring them. So it sounds like you're going to be the one leading them, and you're not one of them, you are the leader of them. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr LaMoshe LeYeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yeshua the following: Atav Azkenim Shabador Imcha. You should be like one of them in the sense that you should not be act with a sense of srara over everybody. You should always be miyaitz together with the Zakenim. Always seek the advice of the Zakenim. There's great leadership of the Jewish people. Take advantage of that. Amla Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, don't do what Moshe just told you. Tol Makal V'Hach Al Kadam. You have to assert yourself as a leader. Dabar echad ludar ve'ein shnei dabarin ludar. There can only be one leader for a generation. There cannot be more than one leader for a generation. So that's a little bit interesting. So Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong about this. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong about this? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yeshua to act in a way that was not going to be as assertive and that was not going to assert his authority and give him a roadmap for success as a leader? So it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was Kepnei Achamon, Yeshua was Kepnei Alvana. The Gemara tells us, Masechet Baba Basra, that the Zakenim Shabosu Adar used to say, Oilanu lo subusha, Oilanu lo sechlima, that it was such a step down from what Moshe Rabbeinu was to what Yeshua was, that it was considered like a busha for the generation, that they had such a step down. So it could be that it really depends on who the person is. That if you have a person who's of such unquestioned authority, so you can act with a sense of anivus, and no one's going to question who he is. He has such great confidence. He has the confidence of the people. No one's going to question whether he should be the leader or shouldn't be the leader, and they'll have the proper respect for that leader. But when you have a person who all the Zakenim say, oh, we went to yeshiva with that guy. We were even stronger than him in yeshiva. I remember we understood the shir better. We did it. We got better grades in our test. So then they're going to question his authority. He's going to have to be a little bit more assertive in order for his authority to mean something. So it could be that was the difference, where Moshe Rabbeinu was guiding him based on how he ran his Hanhagas Hadar, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's not going to be Dar Dar V'Dar Shav. Every generation needs a leader that has a different leadership style based on what's going to work in that generation. Tana Zimun B'Shlosha. Now, we had learned in a Braisa that Zimun requires three. My Zimun, what does Zimun mean? We normally think of Zimun, and we think of what the Gemara thinks of, Ilema Pirka Zimun, that it's three people who eat a meal together and they're going to make a mezumun. Vatanya Zimun Ubirkas Zimun Bishlosha. But there's a Bryce that tells us that both Zimun and Birka Zimun need three, so it sounds like Zimun does not mean Birka Zimun. The Chitema Prushika Mefaresh, my Zimun Birka Zimun. And if you're going to say, no, that's exactly what that Bryce is telling me. Zimun Ubirka Zimun means Zimun, which is Birka Zimun, requires three. It's just explaining itself. Vatanya, but we have a braisa that says explicitly, Zimun Bishlosha, Birka Zimun Bishlosha. It says the word Bishlosha twice. If it were just explaining what the word Zimun meant, it would not have thrown in the word Bishlosha a second time. It would have said Zimun Ubirka Zimun Bishlosha. But no, it says Zimun Bishlosha and Birka Zimun Bishlosha. Elamai Zimun, what does Zimun mean? Azmune Ledin. It means a hazmana to a Din Torah, that Beis Din sends to the Baal Din, that he comes to the Din Torah, so that the subpoena to the Din, that has to be done with all three Dayanim signed on the Azman al-Din. Ki Adam Merava, Hani Beit Lasa Dayani, Diyasi, Vazel Shlicha de Beit Din, Vamram Puma Dechad. If you have a Beis Din of three people that are sitting and they send a Shliach Beis Din and it's only signed on by one person, by one of the Dayanim, that he's that they're asking him to come to the Din Torah, Lo Amar Klum. It's as if the Shliach didn't say anything, and if the Baal Din says he's not going to come, you cannot put him in Nidoy for refusing to come. Why? Because you're coming with the authority of one Dayan? I don't have to listen to the authority of one Dayan. give me the whole Beis Din, and I have to listen to the authority of a Beis Din. Ad Amr Mishmei Dekulu, until you come with the authority of the entire Beis Din. But Hani Mili below Yoma Dedina. That's only if it's not the day where the Din Torah is supposed to happen. Avol Biyoma Dedina. But if you're telling him to come today, and the Din Torah is going to be today, then Naslan Ba. Then it doesn't have to be in the name of all three Dayanim, because you can rest assured that it is in the name of all three Dayanim. See, it's one thing if you get something in 2 weeks, I'd like you to show up to a Beis Din, and it's only signed by one person. For all I know, that one person is on his own. He doesn't have the support of the other Dayanim, and he's going to spend 2 weeks trying to rally up the support of the other Dayanim to get them to actually show up to deal with this Din Torah. But if it's today, obviously the Dayanim are there and they're ready to deal with the case. So it's not just one guy that's going off and doing this on his own. It's obviously in the name of the entire Beis Din, if the Din Torah is going to be that very day. Tashlumei Kefil. Then the Mishnah had said that Tashlumei Kefil and Tashlumei Arba'a V'Chamisha, right, that a long first Mishnah, there's only one Mishnah in the whole parak, told us how many Dayanim you need for all different types of cases. So Tashlumei Kefil has to be dealt with three Dayanim, it's Bishlosha. So Shalach Rav Nachman Rav Chisal Rav Nachman Rav Yaakov, Yilamden Rabbeinu, Dine Knossos Bekama. When you deal with Dine Knossos, how many Dayanim have to be on the Beis Din? Dine Knossos means that any time the payment doesn't correspond exactly to the damage done. Kefel, Dalet Vehei, those are all types of knessos, because it doesn't correspond. It has some relationship in those cases to the damage done. It's some multiple of the damage done. Sometimes you have a knesset that has absolutely no relationship to the damage done. An ones, a mafata, in that kind of case, Shloshim Shalavit, those kinds of cases are knessos that are just a set amount regardless of the monetary value of damage. But they would all have a status of dine knasos. So says Mar Mai Kami Baile Hanantan B'Shosha. What kind of shaila is this? How many dayanim you need for dine knasos? It says in our Mishnah that Kefel and Arba'a V'Chamisha is with three dayanim. So no. The question was Ella Yachin Mumcha Kami Baile dine knasos alo. We know that a Yachin Mumcha, as we've already learned, sometimes is able to be done in place of three dayanim. That a Yachin Mumcha takes on the status of three dayanim. So can a Yachin Mumcha be done Dine Knossos or not? Rav Shachter in Eretz HaTzvi has a whole kuntras called Kuntras HaSmicha, where he discusses what smicha confers upon a person exactly. He says, it seems to be a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam, whether smicha confers upon the person the status of Beis Din, meaning that he can now serve on a Beis Din, and all those things that are functions of Beis Din is what's gained by smicha, or smicha gives him a certain status of Hora, that he's able to paskin. The idea of Yachid Mumcha seems to suggest that there's some Koach Beis Din that he gets. So can a Yachid Mumcha deal with Dine Knossos? Dine Knossos certainly requires a Beis Din. So I'm late. Tanisua, Tashlumei Kefil, Tashlumei Arba'a V'Chamisha, B'Shlosha, Mai Shlosha. What do you think the Mishnah means when it says Shlosha? Ilei Moshlosha Hedyotos, Hamravu Adavucha Mishmei Derav, Afilu Asara Vehin Hedyotos Psulun Dine Knossos. You could have 10 Dayanim if they're all Hedyotos Apostle Dine Knossos. Ela Mumchen, Vekamar Shlosha. So it must be that our Mishnah is talking about Mumchen, not Adyotos, and still it says you need three. So apparently one mumcha is not good enough. Then the Mishnah went on to say, "V'chamor motzi shemra be'esrim v'shlosha." That although Rav Meir says that even for motzi shemra you only need three dayanim, the Chama say for motzi shemra you need 23 dayanim. So the Gemara assumes that we're talking about a case where a guy comes and he says that his wife had znus after erusin, but he doesn't have any edim to that effect, so he can't be mechayev her misa. But he at least wants to cost her ksuba like any eishes is. That's Mizana Tachas Baila. So a mayor holds, well, what he's coming to ask for is Dine Mamanus. He wants to cost her a ksuba. So that's going to be three dayanim. Whereas Chamas say, no, 23 dayanim. Why? Because sometimes it's shaykh to Dine Nefashos. Sometimes when a man claims that his wife has cheated on him, it relates to Dine Nefashos. Even though in this particular case, it does not relate to Dine Nefashos. So says Marv Chiesh, but Dine Nefashos may have. Who cares that sometimes it relates to Dine Nefashos? This case is not a Dine Nefashos case. So why would it matter? So Amarula B'choshen Laz Kamifilgi. First explanation of the Machlok Shemayin and the Chamim is that they're arguing about whether we are Choshesh that for Laz, that it's going to look bad for the Dayanim. Rameir Savar Ein Choshen Laz. Rameir says we're not worried about Laz. What's going to be the problem? That if after some time they find Edim that Shitaka was Mezana, then they're going to have to add Dayanim. Dayanim, and they're going to have to have it come in front of a basin of 23. Rav Meir says, yeah, fine, so they'll add Dayanim. It's not going to look bad on the first three Dayanim, just because they have to add another 20. Rabbanan Savri, Choshen Laz. Rabbanan say, no, we got to start with 23, because there's always the possibility that it's going to turn into a Dinei Nefashos case. Rava Amar, Rava says a second explanation of the Machlokas. Kuli Alma, Laz, Lo Chayshinan. Everyone else, both Rav Meir and Lacham say, we're not Choshish Laz, we don't care that no one's going to say anything bad about these Dayanim. Over here, they're arguing about whether we're choshish for the kavod of the original Dayanim. The case is 23 Dayanim come to Beis Din lemeidan dinei nefashos, because they heard that there's a case of a woman who cheated on her husband, so they assume that it's a dinei nefashos case, so 23 Dayanim show up. And then when they don't find Edim, the Dayanim scatter. And the guy says, you know what, at least deal with me with Dine Mominus. At least let me deal with the Ksuba issues. So Meir holds, good, so you only need three Dayanim. The Chumash say, no, you have to be Choshish for the cover of the Rishonim, that they came to the Bezdin as a result of this guy's Tviya, so you need them in order to carry on with this case, even though it has now turned into a Dine Mominus case, and it doesn't seem that they're really needed for anything in particular. So Meisve, the Kasha was asked, it says in the Tosefta of a Chum Mamrim, Tavo Mamon Bishlo, that if you're Tovea Mamon, the only three Dayanim, if you're Tovea Nefashos, you need 23 Dayanim. Well, Bishlama, according to Rav, I understand very well, Tovea Mamon Tchila, if the Baal never came with Edim, he was only coming mitchila to ask for the Ksuba money, to say that he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba. So Bishlosha, that's where you have three Dayanim, Tovea Nefashos Tchila. But if initially, when he came to Beis Din, he wanted to get her killed, then afilu mamon be'asim shlosha. Then the chiddush is that even if in the end of the day he's only going to be asking for money because he couldn't come up with the edim, it's still going to be 23 dayanim. Elu ula kasha. But according to Ula, who holds that we're choshesh, that when edim hear that he was tovea, that she was mezana, that they're going to come and they're going to be meyed, and then she's going to be chayiv misa, so how's he going to explain tovea mamon b'shlosha? According to Ula, even if all he's asking for is money, you always have to be choshesh that word is going to get out and that more people, the Edom are going to come, and then you're going to have to add, and you're going to need 23 Dayanim. So Amarava Aniva Arisha B'Chabura Targimna, he says, I and the Arisha B'Chabura explain Ula as follows. Umanu, for just by the way, who's the Arisha B'Chabura? Rabbi Chiya Baravin. It happens to be Rabbi Chiya Baravin. Hacha Mayaskinan, what's the case in the Tosefta? Shevi Abal Edom Shazinsa. The father, the husband did bring Edom that she was Mizana. Vevi Av Edom V'Zimum Leidei Abal. But then her father brought Edom that made the husband's Edom into Edom Zom, and they said, Imanu Yisem, you could not have possibly been made. So it turns out that the Baal was a Moti Shemra, and now the Baal has to pay the father of the woman, Mea Slaim, as a Knas. So Baal Ligvos Mamon, if the father comes to collect money, Mi Baal, he comes to collect his Knas money from the husband, Bishlosha, you need three Dayanim. Ubimakom Nefashos, but in a case that the Mishnah was talking about, where he was towing that she was Zinsa, and he's trying to make her lose her Ksuba, and we have to be choshish that maybe Edom are going to come and it will turn into a Din and Fasha's case, then Be'esrim V'Shlosha. That's where you need 23 Dayanim. So the Tosefta can be resolved when it says that Tavo Mamon B'Shlosha, it doesn't mean the husband's Tavea Mamon in a Chinami. Even when the husband's even only Tavea Mamon, you would need Esrim V'Shlosha, because you never know, maybe Edom will hear about it. Tavo Mamon means the father is Tavea Mamon from the husband. That only requires Shlosha. But a husband, when he's Tavea Mamon, in a chinami, that's going to require Esrim V'Shlosha. Now the Gemara says a third possible explanation on the Machlokas, Rameir and the Chamim. Amar Abaye du Kuli Alma, Chashinan L'Laz. Everyone knows that we are Choshesh L'Laz. U'mishum Kvodun Shal Rishonim, and we're worried about the covet of the Dayanim already showed up to the Bezin. So you start with 23, and you got to end with 23, even if it turns into a Dinim Aminus case, because we can't send Dayanim home. Hacha Mayaskinan, Kigon Da Asu Beistam. But over here, the Mishnah is talking about that the husband brought Edim that she was Mizana to a basin of three, and the Edim said that they warned her about Misa, and they didn't tell her what type of Misa. So in Meir holds, since they never told her what type of Misa, it's not going to be a Dine Nefashos case. It's only Meikara going to be a Dine Ksuba case. Vahai Tanu, and we're assuming like the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda says the following. The Tanya, it says in the Tosefta, Ushar Kol Chayavim Misa Shabbatora. Unlike, the context is after it discusses the din of a Misa, Mesis, where the Mesis is, we throw the book at a Mesis. He gets the worst of everything. So we say, but that's unlike Shar Kol Chayavim Miso Shabbat Torah, Ein Mimis Nosam, Ela Be'eda Ve'edim Vasra. You need a Bezin of 23, you need Edim to be made about the Avera, and you need Asra'a. V'ach Yodiyu Shu Chayiv Misa Bezdin. And you have to let him know that when they give the Asra, that he's going to be Chayiv Misa Bezdin for the Avera that he's doing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ach Yodiyu Be'eza Misa Hu Narag. Not enough to let him know that he's going to be Chayiv Misa, you have to let him know exactly what Misa he's going to get. But if you just give him a Stam Asra'a, and you don't tell him which Misa he's going to get, then it's not going to be a Dini Nefashos case. So that's the case where a mayor holds, he is that we done in Bishlosha, because it can't become a Dini Nefashos case. Whereas the Chum hold that even with such Asra'a, it could turn into a Dini Nefashos case, it could be an Esam Bishlosha case, and that's why you're going to need 23 Dayanim. So a mayor assumes, like the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Be'ez Hashem, we went through the first three explanations of Machlokes Rameir and the Chamim. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll go through the next three explanations of the Machlokes Rameir and the Chachamim.